From the KTOO newsroom, I'm Rasha McChesney with this quick look at local and statewide news. The city and borough of Juneau is asking its residents to mask up indoors again, whether or not they're vaccinated. It's not a mandate, but a request as local case counts rise. Robert Barr represents Juneau's Emergency Operations Center. He says the borough wants to avoid a surge of cases like in Sitka, where the case count climbed over 150 this weekend.
None of us want to see case activity grow, and none of us want to see requirements in place. But we really do need people to help out and help us get our current situation under control so that we don't get there. I'm concerned that we might.
The city cites increased travel and the advance of the easily transmissible Delta variant as reasons for taking extra precautions. Barr says the goal is to keep businesses open and the school on track to resume in-person learning this fall. He says the Juneau community has done well in keeping the virus under control so far, and he knows it's especially tough to return to masks now.
It's just natural to want to sort of ease up and kind of get back to normal. And we actually enjoyed, I think, a month or so, I wish it was more than that, of being able to do so. But unfortunately, we are seeing that spread again.
The city recommends masks in any indoor spaces like grocery stores, libraries, restaurants, and other places where people gather. The borough continues to recommend that anyone with symptoms get tested. It also urges unvaccinated folks who have traveled, especially to Sitka, Anchorage, or the Kenai Peninsula, to be tested as well. Free drive-through testing is available through the city and at the airport. And the first Alaska-bound cruise ship departed Seattle today. Port of Seattle Executive Director Steve Metrick says this means good business for downtown Seattle after an entire year without the cruise industry. Royal Caribbean's Serenade of the Seas' first scheduled stop is in Sitka. The 10-story ship is also expected to call at Tracy Arm, Hoonah's Icy Strait, Juneau, and Ketchikan before returning to Seattle as part of a 7-day cruise. But environmentalists in Seattle say they don't want to see the ships in Puget Sound. At a protest next to Seattle's cruise ship terminal, activist Rachel McDonald says cruise companies enjoy the beauty of nature, but they don't take care of it.
They belch toxic emissions without regard for our neighbors. Cruises burn the dirtiest fuels, not for essential services, but for luxury.
This year's cruise season was shortened due to the pandemic. It will be running at reduced capacity. The itinerary was only made possible due to a waiver by Congress allowing foreign flagships to bypass Canada, which has closed its ports to cruise ships until after the Alaska season is slated to be over. And a coalition that includes the Alaska Federation of Natives and electric cooperatives is suing Governor Mike Dunleavy to force his administration to release money intended to help lower rural utility costs. The Power Cost Equalization Endowment Fund is among the pots of money that the Dunleavy administration says can be swept into a budget reserve. The lawsuit alleges the Dunleavy administration has taken a more expansive view than prior administrations, of which accounts are subject to swept into the reserve. Dunleavy said he supports an expedited court ruling to get clarity on the issue. Lawmakers failed to garner the required support last month to free the money back up. And the Fred Meyer warehouse workers have voted unanimously to authorize a strike, which could disrupt food distributions at 180 locations across the Pacific Northwest as early as Monday. KOIN reports that contract negotiations between Teamsters Local 117 and Fred Meyer have been underway with little progress. Union officials added that Fred Meyer rejected a proposal to allow workers to refuse a task that would put themselves or the public in danger. Teamsters Local 117 represents roughly 500 warehouse workers with Fred Meyer, servicing stores in Washington, Oregon, Alaska, and Idaho. A work stoppage could go into effect as early as midnight on Tuesday morning. A new report from the State Labor Department shows Alaska had about 17,000 more jobs last month than it did in June of 2020. Most industries saw gains over that period, but still fell below pre-pandemic levels. The report says Alaska had about 30,600 fewer jobs last month than it did in June of 2019. The department says the leisure and hospitality sector had 4,500 more jobs last month than a year earlier, but 11,300 fewer than the year before that. Healthcare, employment, and construction were up from June 2020 and equaled their June 2019 numbers. The department says the oil and gas sector had 900 fewer jobs last month than in June of 2020. And one small crustacean is costing New England shell fisheries millions of dollars. The European green crab might be small, but it can destroy vital habitats for animals all along the food chain. In July of 2020, that same green crab was found in Haida Gwaii, the closest they've ever been to Alaska. With the help of volunteers, the Alaska Department of Fish and Game hopes to stay one step ahead of this invasive species. Katie Anastas reports on the latest effects in Petersburg.
It's low tide at Petersburg Sandy Beach. Sunny Rice and a group of volunteers walk toward a crab trap. They're on the lookout for an invasive species called the European green crab.
So they were found fairly recently just south of the border with Alaska and British Columbia. And so we're looking to see what we see. Hopefully we don't find a green crab, but it's always more fun if we find something.
Green crab are small but mighty, measuring around 3 or 4 inches wide. They have a dark greenish-brown shell with yellow spots. To check whether the crabs have made it this far north, the Alaska Department of Fish and Game has asked volunteer groups to set up traps all over Southeast.
How many traps do you have?
Six. Six here, and then two of them behind the Fish and Game office where Hammer Slough comes in. Mm. We've done one time here IDing already. Didn't find any green crab, which is good. Didn't find any other crab either, which is not as interesting for these guys.
Rice is with a group of high school students with the Petersburg Indian Association's Natural Resource Management Program. They head to the last trap. Once again, today, there are no green crabs.
Unfortunately, you guys, this is sometimes what monitoring is about. And as we know, we don't really want to find a green crab anyway, but...
But it would be cool to find it.
Yes.
Getting a group of kids, or anyone, excited about not finding something is a bit of a challenge, says Tammy Davis. She's the Invasive Species Program Coordinator for the Alaska Department of Fish and Game.
In this case, you're hoping to get zeros across the board, which, you know, as a citizen monitor, it may be somewhat of a deterrent because getting zeros isn't as exhilarating as finding that thing that you're looking for, you know.
But citizen monitors are a vital part of the search for green crab. Green crab could be a serious threat to juvenile salmon, Dungeness crab, and other wildlife vital to Southeast ecosystems and industries. Davis said the big problem is habitat destruction. Green crab like to get into eelgrass beds when they search for clams, mussels, and other invertebrates. When they do, they clip the leaves or uproot the eelgrass entirely. That leaves other animals, like juvenile salmon, without a habitat.
And so that whole food chain gets disrupted when green crab move in, and it's sort of a cascading impact, both destruction to the habitat as well as reducing and altering the food chain.
It's happening on the East Coast, too. In New England, green crab are uprooting eelgrass and eating softshell clams. East Coast shell fisheries have lost an estimated $14 to $18 million annually because of green crab, according to Environmental Protection Agency research. Green crab populations there continue to grow because of rising sea temperatures. As sea temperatures rise here, Davis said, Alaska could face a similar economic and ecological threat as New England.
Aquatic invasive species put those things at risk, either through predation or habitat destruction. So it matters to all of us if invasive species get introduced and then spread.
So what can you do if you see a green crab? Davis says pick it up, take it home, and get a good photo of it, especially the top of the shell. You can call the invasive species hotline or upload the photo online to the department's invasive species reporter. Fish and Game is always looking for volunteer groups to help set traps, too.
Even if you can't commit to, you know, setting traps next time you're out walking on the beach, look down, and if you find a shell that doesn't quite look like a dungy or doesn't look like whatever crab is native in your area, that could be really important. You might be the person that finds the first green crab.
The Invasive Species Hotline is 1-877-INVASIVE. And you can find the Invasive Species Reporter at adfg.alaska.gov. In Petersburg, I'm Katie Anastas.
And a quick look at the local weather. Tonight, it's going to be mostly cloudy, patchy fog, lows around 50, Lows around 50 with light winds. Tomorrow, same thing, mostly cloudy, some patchy fog. Highs around 70 with west winds to 10 miles an hour. And tomorrow night, patchy fog and scattered rain showers. Lows in the mid-50s and light winds. That's it from the KTOO newsroom. For more local and statewide news, you can visit us at ktoo.org. I'm Rasha McChesney.
Support for NPR comes from this station and from Viking, dedicated to bringing travelers closer to the destination with its fleet of small ships. Viking is committed to offering enriching cultural experiences on board and on shore. Viking.com. From Noom, a personalized weight loss program designed to give people knowledge to set new goals and the tools to stick to them for good. Learn more at Noom, Noom.com. From Oracle with NetSuite, a cloud business solution system designed to give businesses visibility and control over areas, including financials and inventory. More at netsuite.com/NPR. And from the listeners who support this NPR station.
Support comes from Rainforest Pediatric Care, providing families in Juneau with medical care from birth to young adulthood for 20 years. Accepting new patients, located at 3268 Hospital Drive, Suite E. More information at 463-1210.